Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus and chapter 25 here this morning. Early this morning, I was reminded of a story I heard a long time ago. I believe it was John Wesley. Church house was on fire. Everybody was standing around. It was early morning in the blackness of night, the blackness of the early morning. And he happened to look over and there was the local atheist standing right next to him. And he smartly said, John Wesley said, "Man, this is the first time I've never seen you at church before." And the atheist quickly said, "I've never seen the church on fire before." And that cuts right to the heart. May our world see a church that's on fire. Amen. I don't mean physical fire. I mean the fire of God. You know what? If we had that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night, if something was burning in Kinross, people would come to hear the word of God. Man, that's what I want to preach this morning. I'm going to preach on the Ark of the Covenant. I'm going to try to give you the background and really what it's all. I've never preached on the Ark of the Covenant before. And I trust, I'm going to give you in the next 30 minutes more information than you can process. And I have already lightened it up several times because every time I accumulate material all week long, a lot of good stuff. But without getting bogged down in the book of Leviticus and the book of Numbers and getting bogged down in the book of Exodus, I want to kind of keep it up and keep it down on the lower shelf so we all get a grasp at really what the Ark of the Covenant is all about. And we need it today in America. I don't mean the physical Ark. Hollywood's Ark of the Covenant. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Probably almost everybody here has seen that film in years gone by. Watch that video. That is fictitious. The Ark of the Covenant is not a lucky charm. It is not to be worshipped. Just like our Bible is not a lucky charm. And our Bible is not to be worshipped. But they respected the Ark of the Covenant. And we are to respect the Word of God. Let's get right down to where it's at. Exodus and chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25, verse 10. Now, in chapter 25, God is giving Moses instruction, specific to the inch and to the detail instruction on the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, the instruments that will be found in the tabernacle, the furnishings. Specific, God ordained, no room, no wiggle room for man's hand. God said, "I want it exactly like this, Moses." Verse 10 says, "And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2.5 cubits shall be the length of it, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shall make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be on the one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold." This is what we know as the Ark of the Covenant. It is mentioned in 11 books in the Old Testament, 2 books in the New Testament, that being the book of Hebrews and the book of Revelation. I want to preach this morning, after giving you just a little bit more background, on the contents of the Ark of the Covenant and how symbolic it is of what God has for us. Father, again we come to you, and Lord, we pray for your blessing. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would get a hold of the preacher's heart and thinking, mindset, and direction, and help me to preach this morning the Word of God without my little caveats. And Lord, preach this morning the message that you would have us hear from heaven. Give us a word from heaven today. Lord Jesus, would you please stir the church of Jesus Christ? May we not go on and just shuffle our feet like we have done for years. Dear God, I pray that you'd help us to follow and get right in the middle of Shekinah glory for the last days of the church of Jesus Christ before you come and take us home. We pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Turn the page. You might want to turn the page. Skip all the way on over. He gives a description of the mercy seat and what's going to be put in the Ark of the Covenant. But look what it says in verse 22, same chapter, chapter 25. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee above the mercy seat. Remember that line in Raiders of the Lost Ark where that Nazi sympathizer said, it's a transmitter to God? Man, he could not have been, they had no idea, they could not have been further from the truth, because it isn't a lucky charm. And by the way, neither is your Bible. Carrying a Bible does not make you a New Testament Christian. Carrying a Bible, a King James Bible, does not make you a godly Christian. You've got to get it on the inside of you. And here, listen to what the Word of God says here in verse 22. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the covenant, of all things which I shall give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. There in the tabernacle, beyond the holy place, into the holy of holies, where only the high priest could go once a year, will be the ark of the covenant. And there in the ark of the covenant, there at the mercy seat, when the high priest comes and sprinkles the blood on Yom Kippur, comes and sprinkles the blood upon the mercy seat, I will meet with you, and I will commune with you, and I will lead you, and I will instruct you. You see how that parallels with the Word of God? It's amazing symbolism. Now, I remind you, they were not to worship the Ark of the Covenant. That would be a graven image. That Ark of the Covenant was symbolic of the presence of God. It was symbolic of not only His presence, but His mercy, His judgment, and His authority. It was very detailed. And I would submit to you this morning that we have the New Testament equivalent to the Ark of the Covenant found right here in these 66 books. These 66 books that make up the Word of God. 39 Old Testament books and 27 New Testament books. And I want to stand before you this morning and say this again this morning so everybody will understand. I believe in the verbal, plenary, inspired, inerrant Word of God. Amen. I am someone, I do not believe and follow the eclectic texts from the 1860s. I'm not following the Alexandrian manuscripts. I believe in the Textus Receptus as the inspired word and preserved word of God. And the only modern version taken from the TR is the old King James Version. And I believe we have the Word of God. Now, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Ark of the Covenant. And we find out about Jesus, He manifests Himself through the very Word of God. So put together everything I've said so far. They didn't worship the Ark of the Covenant, they worshiped the God of the Ark of the Covenant. We don't worship the Bible, we worship the God of the Bible. We worship Jesus. We don't bow down to the Bible and say, oh Holy Bible, hear our prayers today. That is a manifestation of Jesus Christ. The Ark of the Covenant, a manifestation of the Lord God Jehovah. The Bible, which I love, was written over a period of 1,500 years by 40 writers, or 40 writers and one author, that author being God. The Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. So I need to hook myself up to the Word of God. Now, if it was Old Testament, understand, we're going to come back, we're going to read some more here in just a moment. They didn't have the Bible. They didn't even have the Pentateuch. God uses Moses to write the Pentateuch. They needed that pillar of fire, that pillar of cloud. And they needed it to be encamped right within the midst of the Hebrew camp. And they needed to follow the Ark of the Covenant. We don't have the Ark of the Covenant. That Ark of the Covenant led them in the wilderness for 40 years. But now listen, since the fall of Jerusalem, the Ark of the Covenant has been missing for over 2,500 years. So again, it's not about worshiping a relic. It's not about having a good luck charm. It's not about putting a cross on a chain and hanging it around your neck, or a statue of St. Christopher on the dash of a car. That is all foolishness. Instead, it's about following the Lord Jesus Christ, and we follow the Lord by following the Word of God. Go in Hebrews in chapter 9. Let's go over the New Testament. Hebrews and chapter 9. I'm going to read fast. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Talking about that original tabernacle. And there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. That's the holy place. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. We refer to that as the Holy of Holies, which had the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was a golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and tables of the covenant. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment and talk about those three things. Over it was the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat. We've actually read some of that. Look at verse 9, which was a figure. It was symbolic, which was a figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle in heaven, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. That Old Testament tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, all the furnishings of the tabernacle, they were just poor pictures, limited symbols of the real deal. And what the writer of Hebrews is trying to impress upon these first century Jewish born-again believers is, don't go back to the old ways. Don't go back to the weak and beggarly elements of the law, the ceremonial law that has all been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the ceremony. He certainly fulfilled the moral law. Man, he paid the price for my sin and kept the law where I could not keep the law. And the handwriting of the ordinances is nailed to the cross, book of Colossians. But he also perfected and he also fulfilled the ceremonial law. And all of the ceremonial law was a picture of Jesus Christ, the Ark of the Covenant. A picture. Look at chapter 10. Jesus has no rivals. He has no peers. He has no successor. He is the very Son of God who offered himself one time on Mount Calvary, that ascended on into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Ark of the Covenant. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament law. Verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, this is Jesus, but a body hast thou prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices, for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, this is Jesus, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. I just want to say, after reading that, and I hope you're listening to what I'm reading, oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. I was reminded last night, sitting and listening to that whole time preaching, of what a sinner I was. I was reminded last night of what a great God I serve. And what a great Savior that went to the cross, knowing that I wasn't even born in this world yet, but he's God, and he knows I was going to be born into this world. And then knowing the day that I would get born again, and he accepted me into the Beloved. He seated me in heavenly places, even though he knew after I got saved, I was going to let him down again. And I want to tell you again, oh, what a Savior. He only had to die one time for me. Verse 9 says, then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You go on, continue to read. I won't do it. It says, one sacrifice for sins forever. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We don't have to have a yearly sacrifice. We don't need to gather again on the day of Yom Kippur and have a high priest go in and offer sacrifices unto God. We have a Savior who is a great high priest. He is the fulfillment of the Ark of the Covenant. There are three things in the Ark of the Covenant. There was the stone tablets, which is the law. There's Aaron's rod that budded, which showed leadership and judgment to the rebels. And it was the golden pot of manna. And my God meets my every need. This Ark of the Covenant, I'll bring it right up to date to our measurements, is 4 foot long, 2 foot high, 2 foot wide. overlaid with pure gold. There are two long staves to go through the two rings on one side and the two rings on the other. And the God-ordained Levites were to carry the Ark of the Covenant and carry it when God told them to carry it and where God told them to carry it and how God told them to carry it. And you know all the Bible preaching about that. I'm sure you're familiar with some of those Bible stories. You say, what about that stone tablet that was there in the tablets that were there in the Ark of the Covenant? It was for remembrance. Go to Exodus chapter 25 again. Look at verse 22. Exodus 25 and verse 22. And I already read this once, but here's what happened. God gave to Moses the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. While Moses was up high on the mountain, and he started to return after receiving these tablets, the law, God is writing down the word of God for man. And Moses is bringing it down from the mountain. About halfway down, he meets Joshua. Joshua says, there's a sound of war in the camp. Moses says, that is not the sound of war. That is a sound of debauchery. And you go down, you know the story, and Moses was angry, and he did a little more than God asked him to do, and he threw down the tablets. And anyway, God judges the tribes of Korah, and they're sucked up by the world. And great fear comes over, and a plague comes through as well. And I'm kind of summarizing and kind of putting this all together. And Moses stands between the tribes of Israel and the God of heaven in his wrath and says, oh, God, spare your people. And God does end up sparing the people, but the wrath of God had already fallen, the tribes of Korah were gone. Another 14,700 were destroyed in the plague, and God is going to wipe them all out except for the mercy of God. And Moses standing in between, and God gives to Moses a second set of tablets. And he goes down, and those are the tablets that are put in the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark, the house of the covenant. That's a promise from God to the Hebrews. We have the promises of the Word of God. From God to his children, born again believers. In that Ark of the Covenant is the stone tablets, all scripture given by inspiration of God. Yes, God wrote a book, and he wrote exactly what he wanted. It was the finger of God that wrote the Decalogue. It wasn't Moses. And Moses, you keep your hands off it. Man, you keep your hand off it. You say, I don't know that we have the Word of God anymore. Remember, those in Sunday school, you understand what Paul is telling Timothy, endless genealogies and things that gender questions and cast doubt. And that's what the devil did. He did that in the garden. Hath God really said, thou shalt surely die? You know, just and dilutes the Word of God and changes the Word of God. That's not our job, man. You say, I think the Bible's full of contradictions. I'll tell you how to be a millionaire. Write a book about those contradictions. And if you write a book on the contradictions found in the Word of God, it'll be a bestseller. You say, I wonder why that's never been done. No contradictions. Amen. People talk about it. People that don't know the Bible, don't read the Bible, there are no contradictions in the Word of God. The stone tablets were given by God, by the finger of God. It was God's Word, and it was forever. You ever hear the phrase written in stone? That's where this comes from. God wrote the Decalogue in stone. And I would remind you, you are never closer to God than when you're reading your Bible. You are never more under the direct influence of the Holy Spirit than when you're reading your Bible. And that might be a lot of reason why God doesn't lead a lot of us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Man, we're to trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and he'll direct thy paths. You hide the Word of God in your heart, and he'll direct your paths. That is here's the Ark of the Covenant. Oh boy, I got to speed this up because I want to get to the stick of dynamite that I have to share with you. First of all, there's the stone tablets. Then there's Aaron's rod, Numbers chapter 17. Don't turn over there. We don't have time to turn there. But Aaron's rod that budded, and there was rebellion in the camp of the Hebrews. And that rebellion, again, Moses intercedes. And Aaron's rod is the only rod. The tribe of Levites, they were the leadership. God ordained, God handpicked leadership. And judgment fell on the others that sided with the rebels and those that were murmuring in the camp. It's not a good thing to murmur against God. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Man, that's a good thing to remember. Those that leave the scripture in order to go back to Egypt What they are doing, they're going to end like Korah. Those that leave the word of God in order to go back to the world, in order to go back to what they were before they were saved, in order to have the world standards, Egypt standards, then you're going to be some of that rebellious people that end up getting sucked up by the world. What a picture there. Isn't the Bible deep? Where the earth opened up and the sons of Korah, they're all gone. They fell. They're gone. They went right to Hades, by the way. Right to God's hell. Because they rebelled against God. Aaron's rod that budded was in that. And then, there was the golden pot of manna. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16. In the Word of God, in the Bible, we have the commands of Scripture that aren't going to change. The stones. Amen. The tablets of stone. We have Aaron's rod, a sign of judgment and justice and direction. That's what the Word of God does for us. And we have the pot of manna. In the Word of God, I have my provisions. God meets my every need. Look what it says, just verse 33. Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. Verse 35, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came under the borders of the land of Canaan. God provided their every need. Just a reminder for the people of Israel, in that 40 years in the wilderness, God provided sweet heavenly manna. Manna, bread from heaven, like grandma's deep fried chicken and homemade bread, just laid out for them every day. Their every need was met. And they were to be reminded of that by the pot of golden manna that was placed in the Ark of the Covenant. And I want to tell you, not only do we have the commands of God, the tablets of stone, not only do we have Aaron's rod, promise for direction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, but we also have our every provision laid up for us. Man, I was going to take you on a journey through the Word of God and show you how God provides for through His Word. If you're a student of the Bible, you're going to understand this. If you read your three chapters a day this year, this wintertime, and we get through the New Testament by the end of March, in this journey, you're going to find out how good God is. By the way, you should be to Matthew and chapter 21 today. Three chapters a day from now until the end, in the New Testament, until the end of March. Let's walk this journey together. You can have your other Bible reading. I hope you do. And many of you do. I know that. Some of you are reading in the Old Testament as well. That's wonderful. But let's take this journey together, three chapters a day, and we'll find the commands of God. It'll keep us on the straight and narrow. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We'll find instruction from God, discipline from God. We'll find leadership from God. And we'll find the provision of God. He'll meet our need over and over again. Man, I've got an army of texts here that we are not going to look at. Let's go to Joshua in chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. I just want to read the first four, maybe five verses. I want to make direct application. This is about the ark. By the way, although it was not a lucky charm, when Israel refused to consult the Ark of the Covenant and went into battle, they lost 30,000 men. The ark was captured. Hophni and Phinehas, priests, were killed in battle. Eli, the high priest, dropped dead. When the Ark of the Covenant was stolen from them, Eli's daughter-in-law died in childbirth, and they named her son Ichabod. The glory hath departed. That's what happens to a church. It leaves the word of God. It is Ichabod. It may go on for a generation, but it is Ichabod. And the last thing we want to have happen at Fundamental Baptist Church is to have the glory to depart. I'll speak to that in a quick moment. Let me read five verses very quickly. Joshua rose early in the morning. They removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. They're ready to enter the land of Canaan. They're going to take the city of Jericho by storm. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the hosts. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. That's about a half a mile. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye may go, for ye have not pass this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. They're getting ready to pass over the River Jordan. They're going to follow the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to follow the Word of God. The Ark of the Covenant, Shekinah glory, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. You see, they didn't have the Word of God in their midst. So in order to know that God was in their midst, they needed this Ark of the Covenant, this pillar of cloud, this pillar of fire. And they were completely, they knew God had been meeting their needs for 40 years in the wilderness, and their forefathers had told them all about it. And here they are encamped on one side of Jordan, and right in the middle, about a half a mile away, is the Ark of the Covenant inside the tabernacle. The Ark of the Covenant by direct command of God. He says to the people of God, tell the people to sanctify themselves. Tell them to get cleaned up. Tell them to confess their sins. Tell them to make sure they're right with God. They're going to see a marvelous thing today. We'll see the hand of God today. And at the appointed time, the trumpets sound, the Levites take the Ark of the Covenant, and they begin to march. And there's a half a mile space between the Ark of the Covenant and any of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it crosses over the River Jordan and stops in the middle. And the people cross on over. Now, all this isn't being done in the corner. The Egyptians had already seen the glory of God. And already seen what God had done for his people. And wiped out the mightiest nation on earth. Now they're crossing, before they even crossed over, you know, the people of Jericho and the Canaanite cities, which were city-states, they were looking, and on the horizon, they could see the flame at night. The sky was lit up. During the day, they could see a pillar of cloud. There's something burning in the camp of the Hebrews. There's something going on. They'd already heard about this Lord God Jehovah and how he laid waste to the Egyptian army and how he'd been providing for the people of God, the Hebrews, for 40 years. Now they're crossing over the River Jordan, and that's why the residents of the city of Jericho were afraid. They knew that they were facing the God of heaven. It needs to be said, there's something burning in Kinross. People need to know that, and you say, well, how are they going to know that? Well, they're going to know that by changed lives. They're going to know that by numerical growth. One goes with the other. They're going to know that by facilities continuing to be added to and added on, and the fame of our God, the glory of God should be spread abroad and spread everywhere. I want to see people marvel at the glory of our God in the church, his church, the church of Jesus Christ. I don't want to just be another church. And by the way, I don't want to be just above average church. I don't want to just be that church that has good crowds. Man, I want the glory of God. I want your kind of glory. I want the power. I want the punch of the Holy Spirit in whatever days we have left. It says here in Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I love that. Exceeding abundantly above all. Whatever you think. Yeah, I often quote that verse, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for him. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 9, that ain't just talking about heaven. Let's talk about here on this earth as well. God has big plans for you. God has big plans for this church. We can't even imagine what God wants to do. All we got to do is show up. All we got to do is just be there. Be available. Let God do what he wants to do in our lives. Verse 20 or verse 21, the last verse. Unto him be glory in the church. This ain't the Old Testament anymore. The Ark of the Covenant's been gone for over 25 years. We don't need it. It'll be there in the tribulation temple because the tribulation temple is a temple of rejection. They don't think that Jesus is the Messiah. But the fact is, we don't follow the Ark of the Covenant. We follow our God, and we follow our God by following the Word of God. He's the living Word. This is the written Word. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.